Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
This is the Unplayable Podcast here in Ranchi, reviewing day two of the third test, where it stumps India a 1 for 120, trailing Australia by 331 runs. The tourists were bowled out for 451, with Steve Smith unbeaten on 178, while Glenn Maxwell completed his maiden test century. Ravindra Jadeja was the best for India with 5 for 124. In reply, India a 1 for 91, with Patrick Cummins the sole wicket taker for Australia, as KL Rahul continued his fine series with 67. As always, we've got our resident expert here to talk about everything that went down. I love him, you love him. He's cricket.com.au senior writer Andrew Ramsey. Rambo, what was the highlight for you on day two?
It was a day of the comeback kids, wasn't it, Glenn Maxwell, after years in the wilderness, last seen wandering through the deserts of the United Arab Emirates in a test cap, came back to make a quite emotional century. And then Patrick Cummins didn't so much with the bat, a two-ball duck, I think, when he's come back, but then came back, took that wicket late in the day. So it was good news stories all around, really.
All right, let's start with the absent Virat Kohli. Scans last night revealed no serious damage to his right shoulder, but he still didn't take the field for India on day two. Because his tumble in the outfield is considered an external injury, Kohli can bat in his customary number four position, although that appears unlikely. We're unsure how much the injury will affect his batting, but the good news is he will bat. Rambo, how much of an effect is this going to have on India's batting lineup on day three and going forward?
Difficult to say, given that there's a bit of mystery over what the extent of the injury is and the prognosis for his comeback. I spoke to someone this morning who claimed to be a doctor involved in the scans, but was later revealed to be a roadside ice cream seller.
Right.
He claimed that he'll be fine. He's been practicing in the nets. But from what we saw this morning, when there was a little video posted on the India team website of Virat coming down the stairs triumphantly to take part in training. He's back. The captain returns, it said. He wandered out to the warm-ups, stood around, gave a bit of an address to the team huddle, put his hands in his pockets, and then wandered back to the dressing room. So clearly he wasn't going to be taking any part in the field. And then when they lost a wicket late in the day, I did have a peek on the balcony to see who was padded up ready to come in. It certainly wasn't Virat. It may have been Ajinkya Rahane, or there may have been a night watchman squirreled away there somewhere if there hadn't been another wicket. So it's the great mystery of this test. There's been mystery over what the extent of the injury is, how long he's going to be able to, before he can bat. We've had that resolved. He can bat. Whether he will bat, who knows?
Was this ice cream salesman wearing a white coat? Because I believe that's what confused everybody last night when the technician at the MRI centre told everybody that he was out for 15 to 20 days, and all of a sudden fake news is spread rife here in Ranchi. Everybody's believed that. It turns out he was just the guy that pushes the buttons, and that shouldn't be counted as the truth.
Have you ever seen a reputable ice cream seller who doesn't wear a white coat?
That's a good point.
It's a standard uniform, which what made me think immediately that he was a doctor or a dentist or an AFL goal umpire from years past. But it turns out that he was happy to offer his opinion. Everyone is when you put a tape recorder under their nose and ask them if they can give you the prognosis of Virat Kohli's injured shoulder. And he said something which I assumed to be he won't play again in the series, but later turned out to be, would you like pistachio or pecan nut?
What do you go for?
Pistachio, obviously. We're in India.
Is that your favourite flavour?
Yes, it is.
Okay. On to Glenn Maxwell, who entered the day on 82, and it took him just 9 overs to reach triple figures. What followed was a pouring out of emotion and perhaps a few tears as he celebrated his maiden test ton. He was out shortly after for 104, caught behind off the bowling of Jadeja. But what an innings, Rambo. Two questions. First of all, when was the last time you reacted with as much emotion as Maxi did today? And secondly, what does this do for his career moving forward?
First one, that level of emotion probably earlier in the day when I realised the pistachio ice cream wasn't really that flash. Second question, well, it kind of opens that we discussed this a bit last night's podcast, Sam, that it opens the chance for him to cement a spot, as they like to say, with a few more tests in the subcontinent or in Asia coming up. He's seen as a bit of an Asia specialist. He's clearly done a lot of work on his batting to put away the extravagant measures, the fancy shots, the high risk shots. He seemed to be able to play, like, he batted for more than 4 hours, which is no mean, on a pitch that wasn't particularly threatening, but it was still pretty challenging against a very good attack, the number one test team in the world, in fact. So it's ticked every box, really, in terms of what they were looking for, number six batter who can come in and, when they're in a bit of strife, hang around, play an innings of substance. As we said before, he's a gun fielder. He bowls a bit, so you'd have to think that the future looks pretty rosy for Glenn, and he's a difficult bloke to dislike, isn't he? Like, he plays cricket with his heart on his sleeve, and this time he's really been given the opportunity, worked hard to get back again, and has grasped it with both gloved hands.
Well, Maxwell spoke after play, and he said the one thing that selectors and the coaches have always drilled into him is consistency, and we've seen this from Maxwell before. He's got brilliant one-day 100. He's got that T20 100 in Sri Lanka last year, and now this. I guess the biggest thing for him is backing it up.
I guess it's like writing your second book, putting out your second album, isn't it? It's when you've had the big seller. Not that I would know either of those, obviously.
You've written one book.
Yes, and the second one may be better. But if he can back it up with an innings, I mean, he's going to get tougher to bat on that pitch.
Yeah.
Come the second innings, he may be required to dig even deeper into the resolve file to hang around. And he's got, obviously, there's another test coming in at Dharamsala. If they go the same way selection-wise, you'd have to think that he's pretty difficult to leave him out. It's always test cricket, isn't it? Players start to work out guys' weaknesses and they see a bit of them. They realise he's got a changed approach to the game. They might try something else to unnerve him or throw up a few juicy half volleys and try and get him to hit one up in the air or something. As they always say in cricket, your next test is your next innings. And that's what'll be a big one for him.
It certainly will. Matthew Wade made 37, Stephen O'Keefe scored 25, and they both put on half-century stands with their captain Steve Smith, who finished unbeaten, as we said, 178, the third highest score by an Aussie in India. 19 test tons now for the Australian captain Rambo. Where do you reckon that one ranks for him?
Oh, I think it would rank right up there, given the context and the situation of not just the game, but the conditions, the week that he's had leading into the test. He's been under a bit of scrutiny, certainly copped his fair share of criticism here in India and in other parts of the world for his brain fade. And then to not just bat and play a big innings, but actually be the foundation of the entire team, the wickets falling around him. And you got the feeling, watching him bat today, that if he hadn't run out of partners, he may still be out there. I know it's dark, which would make it difficult, obviously. But
he didn't. Here?
No, they don't. Not Ranchi, no. Actually, they do, but they don't know how to use them for test cricket.
Okay.
So he never looked like getting out and could have gone on to post anything, really. Scoring was difficult at times, but he didn't kind of try and hurry it along. It was only when he got to the end of the innings when Josh Hazlewood was with him that he tried to farm the strike and play a few shots. But the way he batted, I think Umesh Yadav said at the end of the day that he's just so difficult to bowl to because of that slightly eccentric technique that he's got where he gets across his stumps and they find that he's moving early, so they change where they're trying to bowl and they end up bowling into his strengths, or he doesn't move quite so far and they've got themselves wrong again. So he's a very canny customer, and you'd have to say that he's, even though he's not even 30 yet, he's already in the form of his life.
Yeah, and Umesh spoke in Hindi throughout his press conference, so how did you pick that one up?
Research team. They've been given a new job. And
bilingual research team.
Yeah, they've been downloaded Google Translate and they're all over it.
Jadeja bowled 49.3 overs. Rambo, another marathon effort by the left armer. He's now the leading wicket taker in this series with 17 scalps ahead of Ravi Ashwin with 16. But curious that it took 90 minutes this morning for Ashwin to have a bowl.
For me, that was the most kind of demonstrable example of the change of captaincy. Mm. It seems that Virat Kohli likes to use Ashwin as his go-to man. And it may be that this pitch just happened to favour the left arm, who bowls a little bit faster and flatter, I think, and can get the ball to skid on. He always looked quite dangerous. But the fact that Ashwin didn't bowl for so long, and then from the moment, this is my research team did send me through from wherever they are in exile in Myanmar or wherever they are.
Yep.
From the time that Kohli went off injured, I think Jadeja bowled almost double the number of overs that Ashwin did
really?
From that point on. So clearly Ajinkya Rahane, who was in charge at that stage, we think, thought that Jadeja was the most threatening option and would use him in far longer spells. even used the part-time spinner Murali Vijay for a while last night, maybe to give Ashwin a rest. So perhaps all those number of overs he's bowled, as we alluded to earlier on, has taken its toll. He certainly didn't look overly threatening on that pitch and finished up with just the one wicket, which was pretty early on the first day. So Jadeja had to pretty much carry the bowling on his own today.
It's a pretty flat wicket out there. Australia were bowled out for 451 just before tea. Glenn Maxwell said that the Australians would have taken 450 if they got offered it at the start of the match. Do you reckon that's the case now, having seen how India batted 1 for 120 at stumps?
You just got the feeling, looking at Stephen Smith leaving the field after the unfortunate run out of Josh Hazlewood to end the innings, that he just looked like he thought they'd maybe left a few runs out there. I think the bottom part of the innings fell away a bit. They were looking at possibly 500. But given that they were 4 for 140 earlier in the day, or earlier on day one, I think that's why they would have taken 450 if he'd offered it to them then. There was a very grave risk they might be bowled out for less than 300.
Yeah.
The way that the wickets were falling to some fairly injudicious batting, it must be said. But yeah, once they saw how the Indians handled the new ball and then the Australian spinners, they probably thought, oh, this is not going to be a difficult pitch, at least into day three. So 450 is a good score, but it's not going to be... doesn't completely change the game, I don't think.
Well, after 1,946 days, Pat Cummins finally bowled another ball in Test match cricket, and he didn't hold back. He was clocked at close to 150 kilometres an hour at certain stages throughout his spell. But he and the Australian bowlers toiled long and hard without much success. Rambo, as India's openers, KL Rahul and Murali Vijay put on 91 for the first wicket. However, it was Cummins who got the breakthrough for the Australians, producing a venomous ball to spit up and take the glove of Rahul for 67. The selectors wanted a spearhead to replace Mitchell Starc, and they've got just that in Cummins Rambo. 1 from 22 from 10 overs. A very impressive return by the youngster.
It was. It's been a long time. I think I saw somewhere that Australia's had 4 prime ministers in the time that Patrick Cummins has played 2 tests, which doesn't really say much. He could have been out with a hamstring tear, and that might have happened. But... He was fast, and that's a difficult pitch for a fast bowler because it's just got nothing in it at all. So he really had to bend that fragile back of his to get the ball up and about. But I think Glenn Maxwell said at the end of the day that it just brings a bit of a lift to the rest of the team to know you've got someone coming in bowling at that speed. It makes it exciting. There's always the chance that something will happen, and certainly that wicket he took, which reared and sort of towards the shoulder of the what must be said has probably been India's form batsman of the series to date, and was looking pretty good again today. Completely caught him by surprise and couldn't get the gloves out of the way, so that gave them a wicket against the run of play late in the day and gave them a bit of a boost heading into day three tomorrow.
Rambo Smith is far and away the leading run scorer of this series, but the next best is Rahul, as you just mentioned. Once again, he looked great until that bread of a ball from Cummins dismissed him. What's he been able to do differently, apart from Pujara in the second innings in Bangalore, than his teammates to find success against this Australian team?
He just looks very organised, doesn't he? He's always got a way of if getting off strike, defending the good balls, the ones that might get you out, and then pouncing on anything that's even vaguely loose. He's got such good timing too. He can one of those classical Indian batters who can find the gap, and before you know it, the ball's scooting away to the boundary rope. The only thing that seems to be a bit of a chink in his arm, and it's this dodgy shoulder that he's got. He's got it a couple of times trying to play big shots, and then the arm just goes on him.
Bit of a theme in the Indian camp.
Bit of a theme. As my man at the ice cream van said, that can be fixed, but he doesn't quite know how.
Okay.
But he showed no signs of it today. It must be said, he didn't try and play too many big shots, and I think that was the feature of the Indian batting in the last bit of the day. They were played very much within themselves, very cautious, making sure they weren't playing it unnecessary shots. It's a pitch that the ball comes off so slowly that you can probably afford to sit back, wait for the bad ball, and then because of the fast outfield, put that away. But yeah, I think the only thing that has been missing from KL Rahul in this series has been a century.
So India trialled by 331 runs with 9 wickets in hand. Pitch seems pretty lifeless. What can we expect on day 3?
A lifeless pitch, I think, is pretty much a given. There may be an appearance of Virat Kohli. I mean, who knows? He may come down the stairs to fanfare. There might be dry ice, smoke cascading down as he re-enters the arena for the first time since just after lunch on day one.
A bit like The Undertaker, you know, coming back. Yeah, wrestler, The Undertaker. He's got that sort of dry ice, you know, the music, and he comes down and everyone's bit afraid of him.
Yeah, and he can bat. He's a great player of spin, the Undertaker.
Yeah.
Certainly on these dead pitches, he'd be ideal.
That's right.
But that something it could happen. It may not happen. He may not bat at all, because we don't know what the extent of this injury is. I don't think that pitch is going to get any easier to bat on. There was a few that, even during the Australian innings, that bowlers had banged in that didn't quite get up. And I think that's where someone like Pat Cummins might be a bit of a handful. If you're expecting the ball to bounce more than it does and it just sort of comes off that deck fairly low but at speed, then it's an easy way to get pinned in front of your stumps. I think that's what the India batters were very wary of today. So I think it'll get lower and slower, and it's got to start taking some turn at some point. Glenn Maxwell was asked if he thought it might break up during the course of the coming days, and he said he had no idea. That's how mysterious this pitch is. Everyone thought it was going to play badly. It's played well. Everyone thinks it might fall apart. It might not. And everyone expects that Virat Kohli won't bat, but then again, he may.
So you don't think it's going to be one of these wickets where India might get to 3 or 4 down for 300 and then bang, lose a whole lot of wickets, and then Australia could fall in a heap too in the third innings, or maybe it just might be good batting throughout the 5 days?
Yeah, if you look at those, the pitches that they played on in the England series, which I gather this is most similar to, they were big for first inning scores, but then second inning scores were comparatively quite low. Like, it became very difficult to bat on days 4 and 5 as it traditionally would here. So you have to think that even if it's not spinning, there's the variable bounce and the fact that it's got some bare patches on it and the ball seems to do strange things off that, either skids through or it, there was a couple that Jadeja bowled today that turned quite viciously.
Yeah.
So there are spots there where it'll land and it'll spin. I think that's where you get into trouble. You're not quite sure what it's going to do and you start playing false strokes. So I think any lead, whichever team can get a first innings lead, will be invaluable because the runs are going to be pretty hard to come by come the back half of the match.
And finally, Rambo, what's the one matchup you're looking forward to on day 3? Give us a head-to-head battle that you're excited about.
I would have said probably Cummins v. The Undertaker if he comes out and bats. I think Kohli versus anyone. If Kohli comes out to bat, if he's restricted in any way, there's bound to be... they'll be feeling short balls. They'll be testing out the shoulder. There'll be plenty of niggle. But then Virat's such a competitor that if the spinners throw up a couple of... He won't be able to help himself. He'll try and exert his authority on the game. So I think that would be great theatre if it happens. If it doesn't happen, I still think there's... Pujara and Rahane played pretty well in Bengaluru. So the way they handle the Australian attack... And I think Pat Cummins is going to be the man to watch simply because he's young, he's fresh, and he's back.
He's back, baby. And we'll be back tomorrow after day 3 to wrap it all up. Rambo, you're going to be right there in that chair?
Yes, I'll be getting a different flavour ice cream tomorrow, so I'll be in much better spirits.
All right. Well, until then, stay logged on to cricket.com.au for all your news, scores and video on Australia's Qantas Tour of India.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.